Turn your Bible this morning, if you will, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I love the book of John. Amen. Study there a lot. I've read a lot, and I know that you have. And so it's good. By the way, how many of you have got a Bible? Hold up your Bible. Let me see your Bible. Amen. All right. Praise God. That's wonderful. All right. All right. That's fine. All right. Out of John chapter 20, I'm not going to do it, but I would really like to read the entire chapter, because out of that chapter is where the Lord has laid on my heart for the message this morning. Now then, by the way, let me introduce my first wife, Janet here, Janet Moore. In fact, she's my last wife too, I presume. I'm sure I'm like you, brother. I'm not hunting another and don't want to get rid of the one I got. 63 years. I heard my wife tell somebody the other day, she said, I've been married to Preston 63 years and I'm still serving time. Amen. So how long y'all been married, brother?
42.
Well, you got about 21 years. I've got it on you. Brother M.A. don't even know how long he's been married. I don't.
69.
Amen. 69 years. That's good. All right. How many of you kids, you're not married? Raise your hand. How many of you want to get married? Raise your hand. All right. Okay. Amen. I want you to listen pretty close to the reading. We're just going to begin reading in verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now this is the day that Jesus had been crucified. He had been put in the tomb, and everybody had gone away. If you read verse 10 in this same chapter that I'm reading, the disciples went away again to home. Now that's all the disciples, but the women stayed there. Now, if I had to preach in a church with all just brethren or all just sistering, I believe I'd stick to the sisterings. Amen. I appreciate the ladies of God, the wonderful ladies. Then she runneth. Well, let me go back. Just read it over. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark under the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Who was that? And said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. In other words, John was a faster runner than Peter was. Now, Peter, he talked more, but John was faster. And came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went in unto the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre, and seeth the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto him, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken my Lord away, and I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, Jesus is here this morning, but you may not know it. But if you don't, I want you to know it before we leave. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Saith unto him, Sir, they have borne him thence. Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. You may be seated. We're going to deal with this chapter for the next few minutes. It's about 25 minutes till 12, if my watch is about right, so maybe we'll be out of here by noon anyway. By the way, I appreciate the man leading the singing. He looked like he is enjoying that. I tell you, if a fellow's working for God or a lady, if they don't enjoy it, nobody else is going to enjoy it. I believe that. So I appreciate that. Which lady was playing the piano? Oh, raise your hand. All right, back there. Amen. Good job, lady. I think we've got a... What's this thing here? Organ. All right, I may play that tonight. Might be like a little girl at our church, Miss Linda Johnson. She was the organist. She still is. She's been the organist there over 50 years. And in 50 years, she's only missed two services. Miss Joanne Brett is the pianist at Peachtree Road, where I was 45 years. She was there when I went there, and she's been there over 55 years, and she's missed two services. Think about that. Isn't it amazing when people are faithful? Amen. Why, if we had started service there and one of those ladies wasn't there, we wouldn't have started. I'd have said, somebody go back there in my office and call and see what's wrong. How long would you be out before they missed you? I'm not fussing on you. I'm not going to get mean because I hadn't got a check yet. Amen. I'm going to be careful. Amen. Brother Johnny back there, he'll give a lot of money before it's over. Amen. I might know some things about him. He'd pay off. I don't know. Not really. He's a good man. Very sad. Of course, she's in heaven, but that his wife and he are separated for a little while. Now, when people are in trouble, the Lord does different things to help them. And there's four things, four people that God dealt with, three of them in this chapter. And I want to talk to you about how he dealt with them. He deals with all of us different because we have different needs. We have different problems. Some folks one thing, some folks another. But he always knows exactly what to do. Praise God. Ought to write down by my Bible right there, amen, in that verse, amen. He knows what to, hadn't he always known what to do in your life? Now I want you to see this in verse 16. I'm going to look at Mary. Now Mary, the Lord, had cast seven devils out of her. Now preacher, I'm going to be honest to you. A woman with one devil's more than you want to handle. But can you imagine a woman with seven devils in her? But you know the Lord was able to handle that. Isn't that amazing? But I want you to notice she was in distress. In these verses that I read to you, she said, they've taken my Lord away. We don't even know where he is. They've moved him. She loved him. He had done great miracles in her life. Now, I get a little loud. Is that all right? I don't run around like I used to, but if it gets this right, I'll pay somebody to run. Amen. But anyway, she was so concerned and in distress. And we're living, as Brother M.A. prayed along the line a while ago, of the condition the world's in today. And a lot of people are in distress. But you know how the Lord dealt with her? He just spoke to her. Oh, we just sung the song, Jesus spoke to me. I was, my older brother was only 18 years old, and they called him to a church in Rockdale County, and he was down there, and I'd 14 and a half years old, I'd never been saved. My dad was a preacher. Both of my brothers was preachers. My mother played piano. My sister played the piano. The other two were special singers, and all of that going on, but I was lost. And I remember I always like to tell my experience of grace. Do you like to tell yours? If you've got one, you do. Amen. But my brother said one night, he said, Preston, he said, God's saving down at the church about every Sunday, and about every month we're baptizing down in Yellow River. They didn't have a baptistry. I don't think they believed in it. But nevertheless, I finally decided one night that I'd go down there and visit with them. I had never been to that church, Brother M.A., but I remember I rode down there with my brother and his wife, I went in, you know, and sort of waved around and let everybody know the preacher's good-looking younger brother had come in, and went back there and sat down, and I looked over there, and there's some ladies come out of a room, something like this, and some of them was crying and wiping tears out of their eyes, and maybe one or two of them was wiping snuff out of their mouth. I don't remember, but I do know they'd been back there praying for me, because my brother had been saying, my younger brother's going to come one of these days, and if we don't get him the first time, he's so prideful we may never get him. Then the men come out of the other side. Praise God, they've been back there praying for me. And I was just as comfortable. I didn't go there to get saved. I just rode down there with my brother. But as the saints of God began to sing, and people began to pray, and God began to move, something got to messing with me. It never had messed with me before. Amen. And I began to try to pray in my spirit, not out loud, but I was saying, Lord, I don't want to leave lost. I tell you what God done. He hung me out over hell. And I thought I was fixing to go to hell that night. I really did. And I began to pray, Lord, please save me. Save me, Lord. And you know, they got to the last verse. There's fixing to dismiss. I remember I was saying, Lord, please don't let them dismiss. Please save me. I was standing about where that young man is right there. And in the church, they didn't have an altar and necessarily like that in those days. But they got there. And I'd never been, but I heard a man say, preacher, let him sing one more verse. And God saved me on that verse. And for 60 years I've been preaching. I've never had one free Sunday in 60 years. But every time when you get down to the end of the service, I hear that old preacher, that old deacon say, preacher, let him sing one more verse. My wife and I was riding through Walden County, Rockdale County not long ago. Pulled up at that church where I got saved. And I'm going to preach a little while, okay? I got out of the car and headed down toward the cemetery. And she said, where are you going? I'd found out that deacon that said, preacher, let him sing one more verse. I'd never, know, of course, didn't know him then. But I went down there and went around. After a while, I saw two tombstone that said George Johnson. Amen. I said, Brother George, I know that you probably can't hear me today, but I want to thank you that you asked him to sing one more verse. Woo! I'm feeling right good up here. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible said in Psalms 22, the Bible said, 32, the Bible said, he spake and it was so. He commanded and it became the past. Brother, I want to tell you, this world, we haven't evolved. We were created. God created the heaven and the earth and just spoke it into existence. You believe that? Well, if you believe the Bible, you do. Amen. And he's been in charge ever since. Brother, when it gets bad enough, I believe he'll step in and do something about it. Don't you? And I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. My glass is not half empty. It's half full. Amen. But I want to tell you, This country needs an awakening. And as Brother M.A. prayed, Brother, I'll tell you something needs to happen at the House of Congress and at the House of the Senate. Brother, where all that's going on. But I'll tell you also what God said. He said this. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. Hallelujah. And I'll forgive their sin. Let me tell you, this country's been in trouble before, but the people of God got serious. And God, let me tell you, in the very beginning, God said the man... Man had become evil, and God was going to destroy the man that he had created. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what that tells me? One man can make a big difference. I don't know where Noah could sing. I don't know if he could play the piano. But I want to tell you, he could pray. And he could seek God. That's the most powerful thing we've got as a Christian, is a prayer life. And I'll be honest with you, I'm always behind on my praying. How many of you say, preacher, I guess I'm behind on my praying too? Raise your hand. Amen. Brother, there at the church for many, many years, we had all-night prayer meetings. And preachers had come, young men from other churches. I just preached in one last week where the senior pastor had gone to be of the Lord. But I've looked up there next door. I live next door to the church. And I'd look up there, see several cars going down, young men praying, and praying all night long. They'd pray, maybe Friday and Saturday night. And while I was there, we sent out 50 preachers to pastor churches in that 45 years. Brother, I believe that prayer life had something to do with that. He spoke to Mary. That's all he said. Look at it. He just called her name. Now, if he just talking, I don't know how, what it would have influenced her. But when he said, Mary, then she said, my Lord. Amen. She turned herself around and she said, which is to say, Master. Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She wanted to hug his neck. But he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my God and to your God. You remember when he spoke your name? Amen. Boy, that night in that old-fashioned church. Many years later, I was in a revival. And there was a man there, and he walked up to me, and he said, Brother Preston, he said, I'm glad to see you. He said, you remember me? And I said, Brother, I just don't believe I do. And he said, why, you ought to. I got saved the same night you did in Pleasant Hill Church. Brother, I'll tell you, I got so saved that night, I didn't know how many got saved. I'll tell you, God saved me so good, it's pitiful. Amen. I'll tell you, we ought to know that we know that we know that we're saved. Now, you may not remember the day. You may not remember the week or the month or the year, but you better know where you got saved. Amen. There's six of us. My sister that's next to me, she was 18 months younger than me. She was a wonderful Christian girl, a musician at the church, played the piano many years in the church. But she wasn't the brightest bulb in the Moore family. And so I'd been at the church about 30 years then, I guess, 25, 30 years. And I got to trying to consider which month or day that I got saved. Now, I knew exactly where I got saved, in the church, standing up. I knew where I got, but I couldn't remember. Is anybody here, you're saved, but you can't remember the date you got saved? Raise your hand. Well, several of you, amen. That's all right, as long as you know where you got saved. Well, I wanted to know, so I called my sister. And I said, Sybil, I said, do you know the clerk of Pleasant Hill Church where I got saved? She said, yeah. She just lives down the road. I said, would you call down there and ask her to look on that book and see which day it was in July that I got saved? Let me tell you what she done. She She called her. She said, my brother Preston is pastor in the Peachtree Road Baptist Church in Suwanee, and he don't know if he's saved. And he wants you to look on that book and see when he got saved. Well, praise God, my name's on a better book than the church book. Amen. My name's been written in glory. I'm about to get happy up here. Amen. We might have a Pentecostal meeting here after a while. I heard a preacher tell another preacher one day, he said, now I want you to preach, but he said, I don't want you to get them too excited. He said, we don't want to sound Pentecostal in here. After church, it is so dead. He said, preacher, you needn't to worry. Your church won't ever sound Pentecostal. Amen. All right. But I feel the presence of God in this place. Don't you? He spoke to me. Well, I got to get on with this sermon. Amen. He spoke to her because she was distressed. But Thomas doubted. Now, there's a great message in this. I heard a preacher preach and he titled it, Devoted Thomas. He didn't believe that he was that kind of doubter. He believed that, you remember when somebody told him that they were had arrested Jesus. He said, let us go that we may die with him. So I believe that he was certainly doubting. But one thing about it, Thomas doubted. And how the Lord dealt with Thomas. If you move on over in this scripture, he spoke to Mary, but he showed Thomas. He said, Thomas. Then in verse 19, the same day, I'm not going to preach too long, I'm a brother Poole. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now then in verse 24, but Thomas was one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. But now remember, the other disciples wasn't having meeting. They was locked up behind closed doors, afraid the Jews was going to kill them. But Thomas was standing there. Now Jesus could have said, Thomas, you have been with me all this time. And you've seen the miracles that I performed. And here you are now saying, you're not going to believe. You're just not going to believe unless you've seen. Look in verse 27. Instead of rebuking it, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. See, he spoke to Mary, but he showed him something. You know, every once in a while, it's good for God just to show us something. Just identify something that there. You know when Israel came through the Red Sea? Now, there's a lot of things you could have said, well, somebody else done that. But the only way they got through the Red Sea is God had to do that. And at 82 years old, there'd been some things happening in my ministry and in my life that only God done. That only God could have done. And that'll encourage you. That'll build your faith for God to do something for you. Amen. We've been married 11 months, and my wife went to the hospital. And we'd been married about, she went to the hospital, stayed 13 months without coming home. And you know what happened? One night God healed her. Now you may not like that, but he did. There she sits. She's 80-something years old, and she's really not able now with her, has problem with her knees and her back and all of that, but she's been a really faithful wife. She's been so good to me, every once in a while, I almost can't hardly help from telling her, amen? How long's it been since you told your wife, is that your wife? If it ain't, you need to move your arm, amen? You told her the day you loved her? Of course, have you? Amen. She's about to shout over there. Amen. All right, let's get back to this. Amen. He showed Thomas. Now, I'll take the next fellow I want to talk about in the scripture, Simon Peter. I love Simon Peter. He was a fundamental independent Baptist. The Lord had, things had begun to develop, and Simon Peter said, now, Lord, these other disciples, you can't count on them. But said, you can count on number one. You better be careful when you get to bragging on yourself. Now, I don't know what was wrong with Simon Peter. I believe he had low blood sugar, because everywhere he went to sleep. He went to sleep in the garden. He went to sleep in jail. And if he was here this morning, he'd be dozing off. Amen. He was some kind of person that just, he was really all the way in or all the way out. Isn't that the way it is? Y'all probably got some of them around here. Well, no, that's over at the Methodist Church. But I want you to see that Thomas had deflected while Jesus was being arrested. And this is amazing. Peter went over with the other crowd and stood over there with them. And a little loud-mouthed girl come to him and said, hey, you're with Jesus. Oh, no. No, he said, you've got the wrong man. But she was persistent. And then another. I know you was with him. And after a while, he cursed and swore that he didn't know Jesus. Now, I've been preaching 60 years, and my wife's sitting right there, and in that 60 years, I've never said a cuss word. Now, there's been times, if you'd wrote it down, I'd have signed it. Amen. I believe, and I hadn't told a dirty joke in 60 years. I like funny things. Amen. I just don't like these people that say, well, I'm a Christian and ain't nobody in the community really got it real but me and the old mule because we got the two longest faces. I'll tell you, it's joy unspeakable to knowing. Somebody mentioned a while ago the pastor. It's joy to know I've had 3 heart attacks. I got so many stents in my heart, I don't know if I could go through the airport. Of course, I'm not wanting to go through the airport. I don't like to fly. The Lord said, lo, I'm with you always. Amen. Now, I've been to France, been to Italy. I've been to Greece. Went to Switzerland, went over the Alps Mountains, and an engine went out on the plane. Now, that'll make you catch up on your praying. Amen. When that thing cut off one of those engines and that thing started losing altitude and the captain was in the back making the sandwich, he come running through and cranked the booster engine on top of that plane and cranked that booster engine and turned it straight up. Barney Williams was with me. And old Barney, he was a real encouragement. We was down in nearby the tip of them. He said, preacher, this is it. Ain't nothing like having a preacher to give you comfort, isn't there? He went back to that, and cranked that booster engine and raised that plane up, and it just sat there and shook and stuff falling back through that plane. And after a while, it leveled out, and then we landed safely in Switzerland. And there wasn't nobody behind on there praying when we got there. You know something? I thought about this other day, Brother M.A. We don't ever really pray till there's a great need. I mean, we don't ever really get serious with God till it is serious. Now, here's the thing. It's always serious. We just don't know it. My wife is one of 11 children. 3 of them now in heaven. Her sister that's next to her, that actually her, the mother and daddy was gone, and her sister had become actually the matriarch of the family. She had a big, beautiful home and very comfortable, had owned some businesses. Very healthy. She's in our house every 2 or 3 days. Maxine, Molly actually, everybody called her Molly. Her name, Molly Maxine. She come in our house the other day and she was talking and laughing. And I knew she was saved. But for some reason, she started leaving. I said, Molly, wait a minute. Tell me where you got saved. And she told me, said, I saved certain place, certain church, certain time. We laughed and talked. She went out and got in a car. Next week, I was riding up the wrong road and the phone rung. And her brother said, Preston, you need to come to Loganville. Of course, I live in Loganville, but I wasn't there then. He said, they just left with Molly and said they're not getting any response. They owned the farm in Alabama, had gone down there and cut grass. They had come home. She had gone in the house. Her husband went out to walk the dog. He come back in the house in about 30 minutes, and she was laying on the bed dead. That healthy young woman. You never know. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you never know, my dear friend. We need to not only be ready or prepared, but we need to be in the place. If he calls, we won't be afraid to answer. If you're not saved this morning, you're absolutely foolish to walk through them doors lost. Somebody said, well, I get saved when God gets ready. He's ready. He's been ready. Yeah, he said to Peter, he had deflected. But instead of the Lord dealing with him like I would have, I'd have said, you are the sorriest thing that I've ever had to work with me. But the Lord just, when he met him, he just said, Simon? He said, yeah. He said, do you love me? Oh, he said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Then he asked him the second time. He said, Simon, do you love me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. But you see, here's out of the will of God. The third time the Lord said, Simon, do you love me? The Bible said he was grieved in his heart. God wasn't ugly to him. And he won't be ugly to you if you'll come home. Oh, I love the story of the prodigal son. Wasn't no mom in that home, far as we know. Wasn't no prayer in that home, far as we know. That family had no preacher, far as we know. There was no church that family went to. I think there's a lot of things, if it had been that home, that boy might not ever left. I don't know. But I'm so glad that he came home, and to his amazement, his father was looking for him. Not only that, his father met him. I don't know how far his father went. I believe his father knew he was coming home. But anyway, his father got, am I preaching too long? His father saw him, and instead of saying, hey boy, where's that money? You look like a tramp. I didn't say that. Hallelujah. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Think about that. I believe that's a real... Has any of you, when you were little, have you ever slipped off from home, raise your hand, and went off down somewhere? I used to do that. There was a store about half a mile from our house, and the bus would stop there, and a lot of young people from, I went to Stone Mountain High School, a lot of young people, they'd get off there, and I'd just hang around. We lived up the road about a quarter to half a mile, and then I'd go on home. And my daddy'd come in from work, but I'd always try to be careful not to let daddy get home before I got home. See, my daddy never did read Dr. Spock's book. He didn't know that it wasn't my personality he was dealing with sometime. And daddy'd say, True Willie, that's my mother's name. She's in glory and he is. Say, did Preston stay down at that store this evening? She'd say, yeah, Mac. But she said, look at there, he's already got in the cold. See, I'm a little smart here. He's already drawn the buckets of water full. He's already got the kindling in. And my daddy would say to her, all right. She'd say, Mac, let him off. Thank God for good old mamas, amen. Now, my mother would whip me, but she didn't know how to whip you. She'd whip you with a shoe or a whatever was handy, she'd grab it, you know. But now when my daddy whipped you, he laid all his other business aside. So I'd get up there. But one day we was playing down there at the store, and I looked up the road and saw my daddy coming down the road, and what he had in his hand was an M80. Wasn't really a stick about that long. And I began to pray, but it was too late to pray. Amen. Let me tell you something. You just keep on fooling around with God. And after a while, he'd be coming down the road. That's what he did in Sodom, somebody mentioned. He spared Sodom a long time, preacher. Now, I don't mean, well, I mean to preach God's message. But I'm going to be honest. There's some sins God chastises. There's some sin God's deal with. But there's some sin God stops. And the sin of homosexuality going on down in Sodom came up before God. Amen. Now, I pray for everybody, and I believe God loves everybody. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want no boy coming around with high-heeled shoes and earrings on and probably silk underwear. I don't want him coming around hugging my neck. Amen. Oh, somebody said, well, preacher, you just don't understand. No, I don't. But we better leave that alone. Amen. You see, the Lord, and then I've got to quit. In Luke 24, let's back up a little bit. I believe it's 24. Won't take us here but a little bit. I cannot imagine how these fellas felt in Luke 24. Let's look in verse 13. Luke 24, verse 13. This is after the crucifixion, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. They were talking about Jesus, talking about his miracles, he's talking about his crucifixion, he's talking about his burial. And it came to pass, they talked together of all the, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He is now walking with them after the resurrection. But their eyes are holding, and they did not know him. And then he asked the question, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another and talk? And they said, oh, you must be, I'll just paraphrase, you must be a stranger in Jerusalem. You must have not known the things that's gone on in these last years. He said, what things? In verse 19, they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed. And how that the chief priests, in verse 20, delivered him. And how that he had been, would have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, this is the third day. Praise God, I love that song, or that statement. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. Amen. They're defeated. They're just cast down. They're discouraged. You ever just got discouraged? That's the way they were. So you know what he did to them? He shared the scriptures with them. He said, you fellas need to look in the Bible and find out that that was not the end. I close with this. I was standing by the head of the casket of my mother many years ago. And my dad had pastored churches, my older brother. And there's people out in the yard and down the road coming by that casket, viewing my mother's casket. And I'd stand on one end, my older brother Todd would stand over there, and we'd change my... And people had come by, and the casket was open. I've had 6 funerals. We've been in 6 funerals in the last 3 weeks. And in that open casket. And somebody come by and say, Preston, I'm so sorry. I know this is the end, and it's going to be hard. Ooh. But I'd look over in that casket. I'd say, no, honey. This ain't the end. There's a brighter day coming. There's another time when everything's going to be fixed. You know, if you're saved, listen to this statement. If you're born again, after a while, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. And I'm looking forward when these days the Lord's coming, maybe today. And if he comes, you're going to bring her with it. The Bible said in Thessalonians, we shall be caught up together with them to meet. Did you know if our loved ones are saved and we're saved, we'll see them before we see Jesus in the rapture? The Bible said we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You're talking about a family reunion. Somebody said, well, what about somebody in the family that wasn't saved? They won't be in that rapture, and you won't know it because they were never born in that family, the family of God, the natural family, but not the spiritual. Preacher, thank you for having me. Has he ever spoke to you? Has he ever corrected you? Amen. Thank God for parents that correct their children. Now, I don't mean be brutal to them. Tony Hudson, you remember Dr. Hudson? He pastored 5,000 there in Decatur. And Tony blessed his school teacher out one day and walked out of the schoolroom and got home and his daddy was home. And his daddy carried him in the bedroom. And he said, Tony, he said, go in there and get me that belt. Tony said, I went in and got him that little bitty belt. He said, Tony, go back in there and get that belt that prisoner gave me while he made it in prison with them acorns and them squirrels on it. Put my name on it. Somebody said, Tony, what was that belt? He said, it's the next thing to the electric chair. Amen. But you know now Tony's pastoring a great church, and I won't go through all that, but what a great man of God. I don't mean to be abusive. Amen. Sometimes I think we can be abusive. I remember my dad, he'd whip me. And you know what he'd say, Sister Preacher? He'd say, now, son, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you. And I'd think, well, why aren't we going to have this one-sided fight? Amen. Just stop it now if it's going to be that bad. But you know, before my daddy went to heaven, I put my arm around him and I said, Dad, thank you, you love me and you corrected me.